Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. This week, we take you to the movies. Despite the arrival of streaming services, good independent cinemas are thriving and holding on to their starring roles as anchors for their neighbourhoods. And our Balkans correspondent, Guy Delaunay, has sent us this essay on their enduring charm and power.
Flea pit, grind house, picture palace, whatever you call them, local cinemas have long played a starring role at the heart of communities, acting as the cultural glue of neighbourhoods around the world. But these places have fallen on hard times. A combination of home video and shopping mall multiplexes has proven fatal to the local movie house, and it's hard not to take this personally. People can and do measure out their lives in movies. A first taste of big screen entertainment with family films, then perhaps moving on to a coming-of-age drama before stealing a kiss at date movies, or if the date is particularly unlucky, an Ingmar Bergman double bill.
In dear shape.
An early childhood memory, watching the Disney animated classic Dumbo at the Crosby Classic, a single-screen cinema which served the North Liverpool suburbs. A haze of cigarette smoke shimmered over the right-hand side of the auditorium, where patrons were permitted to take advantage of the seat-back ashtrays. Ushers with illuminated trays offered artificially enhanced treats, Kiora orange drink, Lion's Mane ice cream, and Golden Wonder peanuts, jungle fresh, the adverts assured us. A magical world, just a short bike ride from home.
Ah, oh, gee, Dumbo. I think your ears are beautiful.
The classic could have gone the same way as the rest of Liverpool's Golden Age cinemas, almost all of which have been demolished or converted to other uses. But when the death knell rang in 1996, in the form of a planning application pinned to a lamppost, local people decided it was too important to lose. They formed a community trust, successfully campaigned against the planning application, and within a year, they were running the cinema. Now renamed the Plaza, its original moniker, when it opened on the same day as the outbreak of the Second World War, it epitomises the community cinema. Volunteers sell the tickets and maintain the Art Deco features of the building, now enhanced with period-correct neon and chrome facade. And as well as mainstream movies, there are children's clubs, midnight showings, and themed festivals. The Plaza's success has inspired other community efforts in the city. The startup Liverpool Small Cinema brought an international repertoire to a converted magistrate's court. It's now looking for a new site following the sale of the building. Empty Spaces Cinema says, "We can create cinema spaces wherever the community wants them, and stages pop-up screenings in disused buildings, echoing the storefront theatres of cinema's early years." These are places and events which bring life, hope, and empowerment to communities where those qualities may be in short supply. And one can see a similar effect on my current patch in the Western Balkans. Activists occupied Belgrade's disused Zvezda cinema and opened up the screen to Serbian filmmakers frustrated by the lack of opportunities for them at the multiplexes. Young animation enthusiasts in Pec, Kosovo, now run the city's long-abandoned Yusuf Gervala cinema full-time after years of using it for their Anabar festival. And in Croatia, community cinemas are crucial cultural institutions. Kino Pobjeda in Metković claims to be the only permanent cinema between the coastal cities of Split and Dubrovnik, a stretch of 230 kilometres, and even hosts cinephiles from neighbouring Bosnia. Inland, volunteers revived the war-damaged Kino Hrvatski Dom in the small Slavonian town of Pakrac. None of these movie houses base their offers on nostalgia. Instead, they show that a small cinema plugged into the community can offer something entirely different to the multiplexes. You don't have to be Marty McFly to go back to the future.
You've got to come back with me!
Where?
Back to the future!
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And our thanks to Guy Delaunay for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.